Our text is from Hebrews 2. We have mentioned it a couple times in the litany. It comes back. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. I'll just read it again here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. People of God, cadets, it's so good that you come here this morning, that we take a special Sunday just to be challenged again by what you are learning, and to, as a congregation, just see how the ministry continues to unfold and build into your lives and encourage you. This morning, we are looking at that challenging theme, Get in the Game. And it's based here on Hebrews 12, and the game that Hebrews 12 is thinking of is the Olympic Games. Do you know about the Olympic Games? Yeah, there's Winter Olympics. They didn't have those, but Summer Olympics. They had Summer Olympics. And in the games, there was the marathon running. There was the sprints, like here. Wow, was good. Then they had javelin and discus and long jump, and they had wrestling. And so there were a number of sports that they did, but everybody knew that these were then the games. So talking about getting into the game, people would know these games. And so that's why Hebrews 12 takes this understanding of this is what goes on. How do people become part of that? And especially that God calls us as Christians to dedicate our lives, to devote ourselves to the calling we have, which is the race God wants us to run. And it's like those runners in the Olympics. And we are called to run that race as well. A race of faith in our lives. And so we need to run the race God has set out before us, and that Jesus ran that race and he became our Savior. And so that's all there. But Hebrews 12 especially, we hesitate. People hesitate to fully devote themselves, hesitate to get in the game, to run the race that the Lord Jesus has set out for them. That's really the concern here. The problem is we often hesitate. And so I want to just to share with you this example from the book of Judges. It's tied right into Hebrews 12, because Hebrews 12 comes after Hebrews 11, of course. And Hebrews 11 speaks of the heroes of faith. And have any of you guys been to the Sports Hall of Fame by Red Deer? Yes. What do you see there? You see stuff? What do you see? Yeah. Yeah, all the famous stuff, hey, from players. Did you see some of the famous players there? Well, the pictures, right? And the stories of what they did. So Hebrews 11 is like the Hall of Fame. And it speaks about all of the great people who served God, called God, and got called by God, who responded to God's call. And so Hebrews 11 talks about Abraham, who God called to come to the promised land. Talks about Moses, who led the people out of Egypt. Talks about Joshua. And so we read also as a call to worship, Joshua. And God says, be strong and courageous. And he had to go and take over the land, the promised land. And then it says something very interesting. It says there's more. There's many more. And there it says in Hebrews 11, there's no time to tell you about all the others. And then the first one that it says it's not going to tell you about is Gideon. So I thought I'd tell you about Gideon. And the story of Gideon is the same sense of hesitancy to do what God calls him to do. Here In Judges 6 is the story of Gideon. And Gideon is in a difficult situation. He is in a time where God's people have stopped following God. They have stopped believing in God. And God is trying to call them back to faith and to life. And so God wants to use somebody to do that. And so he picks Gideon. Now, Gideon is aware of God. Gideon knows about God, absolutely. But Gideon is not sure if God is really there to help. And we see that in the reading where when God comes to him, then Gideon responds, Oh, where is God? Where are all his wonders? Verse 13 and 14. God brought us out of Egypt, but now he has abandoned us. And so there's a real hesitancy. And so Gideon knows the problem. He knows the people haven't been faithful. He sees that they are responding, though. They do repent in verse 7. And God sends them a prophet to encourage them. And then God sends them a savior. He sends them Gideon. He says, go and in the strength you have, save Israel. I am sending you. But he's not sure. And that's often the thing, that we might step out too. We might do more for God, but we're not sure. Will he really be there for us? Will he really work through us? And so that's most often the struggle that we wonder about. God, can we really trust you? And so Gideon wonders about that too. Verse 13 and 14, can we really trust God? Will he really do what he says? And the reason we hesitate is most often because we know we don't deserve his help. And that's really the first thing here with Gideon. Gideon hasn't really been so great at all. We read initially too when there's danger and things. Gideon is hiding in a wine press. He's trying to winnow out a little wheat for himself. He is not at all out there. He is not at all trusted. He is not really that good. And later on you hear about his father who is not following the Lord, and in his own mind too, his own weakness, when he says in response to the angel too, I am the least in my tribe, and why is God calling me? This, first of all, is a real hesitancy. That why would we step out in faith then? Why would we step forward? The key here, even as God comes to Gideon, is God's love for Gideon and for his people is not dependent, first of all, on how good the people are. And that reality has to sink into Gideon's mind and heart, and in our heart and mind too. It's not up to me, first of all. I am called to engage the things of God and to step out in faith where he calls me, but will God be with me? Yes. Why? Though I'm weak, though I fail, though I fall, though I don't deserve it, God will, because of himself, because of his love, because of his faithfulness to his word, because of his work of bringing his will, his saving work in the world to fulfillment. And so when we think about what God has called us to, and that God might be calling us to do things for him, maybe help out with the cadets, maybe talk to a neighbor, maybe be involved in a community effort that would really bring justice and mercy. And we think, well, no, I can't do that. And would that really help? Even something like supporting a refugee family. When would God really bless that and help that and work with that? Because, yeah, we wonder, are we really doing it right? And are we able to do that? And God will be faithful to his promise to save all who call on him and to bring his will and his kingdom forward. So that needs to be overcome. Gideon, too, says in verse 17, I am weak. And so he asked for a sign. And that's a weakness in itself. Man, I mean, this guy is not hero material, really. God has laid it out. God is calling him. He sees the need. The people are in great danger. And he still hesitates. He asks for a sign, verse 17. And we didn't read through it all, but God right away gives him a sign. If you have some time today to read the whole story of Gideon, chapter 7 and 8 too, but God gives him a sign right here in chapter 6 already. He brings an offering to the angel, and the offering is consumed miraculously before his eyes. And so that's pretty clear that God is there. And then just a little later in verse 22, he realizes there's an angel talking to him. That's pretty amazing. And so that sign from God. And then if you read a little further, God does ask him to tear down an altar to Baal and build up an altar to God. And he does that, though he does that at night, and he gets in trouble for it, but God protects him, and his father, who is actually a worshiper of Baal, actually protects him. And God is doing all kinds of things that must register in Gideon's mind. God is here. God is helping. God is using me. And so these kind of things too, God in his grace continues to challenge us, but as we step forward a little bit, he is there. As we step out in faith a little bit, he is there. And so the picture too is get in the game. You are not thrown in just by yourself totally over your head. Step by step, God works to just build up your faith and your courage. And so that's very much part of what's going on here in the story of Gideon too. And we can be assured of that too as we step out in faith. God simply asks us to be faithful, to trust him, and to step out more and more. God, I'll try this. I'll do that. Yes. If somebody asks, oh, could you help with this? Yes. We're going to be talking as a church too in terms of some renewal things we're doing and put people help out and how could people maybe take part, and that you would say, yes, I can maybe do that. I can maybe help. God continues to draw us in just lovingly, carefully, encouraging us along the way. We do see it in verse 33 where the enemy attacks and Gideon blows the trumpet, and people respond. And that must have amazed him too, because the people weren't interested in the things of God. And all of Israel was doing what it felt was right and wasn't interested in serving God at all. But here Gideon blows the trumpet, the threat is there, and people do respond. And so warriors come, and it says too, from the surrounding tribes, Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came together. And so Gideon is standing in front of a fairly impressive force. And still that hesitancy. The thought should be, okay, now we're going ahead. Thank you, Lord. But still, he's not sure. Not really sure. Can he actually, get in the game, step out in faith, do this for the Lord? And so we also are often very weak. Many questions we wonder, can I step out in faith? Can I share my love of Jesus? Can I do this part of the ministry in the church? Or can I maybe be a witness in the community? We are so hesitant. So Gideon takes a fleece, it says, a fleece. Well, what is a fleece? It just so happens there's a fleece laying on this table. Son of a gun. Here. Check this out. Gideon takes a fleece. Feel that. Isn't that nice? You betcha. That is a soft, soft fleece, right? Do you guys have a favorite stuffy or blankie?
Yes.
Yeah?
It's this.
This was Gideon's blankie. What do you think of that? He takes a fleece, which is a sheepskin, right? And what he does is he takes it, and this was just what they had in their houses, and they just, that this was a very ordinary thing. So you're thinking, like, he has these guys, and he is, has to defend Israel and everything else, and he takes a very simple thing. He takes a fleece, and he lays it on the ground. He lays it out just nicely out, and it says he lays it on the threshing floor, and he asks God, show me a sign. Show me a sign that you will be with me, that you will help me. And so he takes this fleece, and it's just ordinary to him, very common. He really likes it, just very comfortable, and he just lays it out, and he says, God, make the fleece wet and the ground dry, and then I'll know for sure that you are going to help me. And then I'll go and do what you ask, right? And so this... On the one hand, you have to realize this is a sign of weakness. I mean, Gideon, come on. Come on, guy. I mean, God has done all this amazing stuff already. You've seen an angel. You've the sacrifice. You built the altar, and you were defended, and all the people have come. Gideon wants the fleece wet. He wants it wet. So God, in his grace, you have to see how gracious God is. How gracious God is. How loving in our weakness. And God makes that fleece wet. And normally, if you laid a fleece out in that country, in that day, overnight, you could wring out of the fleece at the end. If you took that fleece and you really, really wrung the water out, you'd get a cup of water. So a cup of water. But what does it say? It says that Gideon went in the morning, he got up early, he squeezed that fleece, he wrung out a bowl. Man, there was a lot of water in that fleece. I mean, God is saying, trust me. Just trust me. I mean, look at all the water. And what does Gideon do? Yes, Lord, I trust you. I'm on my way. No, he doesn't. Because he realizes he's an idiot. Now, that's a strong word. I don't say that word. But that's really what he realizes. He wrings out the water in that bowl, and as he looks at it, he thinks, Gideon, you're an idiot. God could never use you. You are so dumb. You are so useless. And why is he saying that? Because he knows what everybody else knew in that day. When you lay a fleece on the dry ground overnight in the morning, the fleece will almost always be wet, and the ground will always be dry, because there is stuff about fleece that it attracts the moisture out of the air more so than the dry ground. And so no matter what, the fleece would always be wet. Now, it was wetter than usual, but Gideon knows that this isn't really, it isn't a me, it's a dumb. A dumb sign. He shouldn't have asked for that. He should have asked it the other way around. If the ground is wet and the fleece is dry, that's That's very unusual. And so you need to realize that Gideon comes to the Lord. The Lord, don't be angry with me, verse 39. One more request, one more test. I meant to say, I'm sorry, I got confused. Please make the fleece dry and the ground wet. And then what does it say? It says, God did so. God did so. And God should have said, you idiot, I'm not using you. I mean, you can't even figure this out. No. It says, in your weakness, in your helplessness, in all the messing up and mistakes that you make, God said, I'm intending to use you. Don't doubt it. God wants to use you. That's the challenge for us to believe. But we can still say too, if you want to borrow this fleece, you can. I have the fleece. This is our fleece. Actually, Paul bought it years ago. And this is the fleece. If you want to borrow it, you can borrow it. You can lay it out in the snow. See, snow on it or no snow on it. People do that at times. People ask for a sign. I had some friends too. They went around and they would just talk about, oh, I laid a fleece. And that would mean that they'd ask God to do a little something. And if he did, then they would know. And yeah, that's okay. You can kind of go with that a bit. But let me tell you this. If you want to borrow the fleece, you can borrow the fleece. But you don't really need to borrow the fleece. Because let me share with you that if you want a sign, if you want a sign from God, he has given you a sign. And it's so beautiful around all of the prophecies of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus that always the word sign is mentioned. The coffee break ladies, they are studying Isaiah. And in Isaiah it says, God will give you a sign, King Ahaz. A baby will be born of a virgin. And we just celebrated that sign at Christmas. And that's a sign to you and to me that God is at work in a saving way. He sent Gideon to save the people at that time. He sent Jesus to save us and this world. That's a sign. Receive that sign. And the whole life of Jesus, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a sign to us of God's word, God's grace, God's presence, God's power in the miracles that were done, in the teaching that was shared. Receive that sign. Read through the Gospels. Just sit down and read the Gospels. They will speak to you of the truth of God, his power and his love. They are a sign to you. Receive that sign. We have the sign here of the cross every Sunday. That's a sign. We don't have the fleece here every Sunday. We have the cross here every Sunday. A sign to you that God loved you so much. He died for your sins, for your weakness, for when you were an idiot and he was dishonored by what you did. He died to take away that sin and to restore you to his relationship with him. So those signs culminate in the victory and the sense of victory of Jesus rising from the grave. And we're going to celebrate that in April, Easter. Jesus, who was dead, rose to life, a sign that we have life in him. So those are the signs that we receive. And I invite you again today to receive those signs. To be confident in what God has done and what he calls us to. That we would focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the challenge, to believe in Jesus fully and completely. I invite you again today to make that the center of your living, this day and this coming week again, and you will see God at work in your life in all kinds of ways as you trust in him, as you go forward in faith, despite our disobedience, despite our weakness, despite our struggles. Just reminds me of the quote by Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing." And the devil wants us to do nothing. He wants us to feel we can't do anything. And that's a lie you don't want to listen to. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So just a few questions of application. Where is God asking you to step out in faith? Where is he asking you? What are you hesitating to do for the Lord? Because we all hesitate. But when we recognize it, we can go forward. And have you seen God's presence and power just in the ordinary things of your life? I think that's really what the fleece points to. In the ordinary things of life, God's presence and power guiding and encouraging us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we lay our lives before you. We're not laying a fleece, we're laying ourselves. And we pray that you would forgive us when we are weak and hesitant. And we pray that you would assure each one here that by putting faith in you, by trusting you, Lord Jesus, as the one who came Christmas, who lived a perfect life, who died as the sacrifice for our sin, and who rose victorious from the grave, that we have that assurance that you are our Lord and Savior, and by your Spirit, you walk with us each day, and by your word, you lead us and help us. Help us again today to be bold, to be strong, to get in the game, to live for you every day. Amen.